Shroni.
Shroni.
Lower part of the waist.
Adhi.
Adhi.
Extra.
Extra.
Rochishnu.
Rochishnu.
Pleasing.
Pleasing.
Dukula.
Dukula.
Garments.
Garments.
Svarna.
Svarna.
Golden. Mekhalam.
Mekhalam.
Belt.
Sama.
Sama.
Symmetrical.
Charu.
Charu.
Beautiful.
Hungry.
Lotus feet.
Jungha.
Calves.
Uru.
Thighs.
Nimna.
Lower.
Janu.
Knees.
Sudarshanam.
Very beautiful. Translation. The lower part of the Lord's waist is dark and covered with yellow garments, and a belt bedecked with golden embroidery work. His symmetrical lotus feet and calves, thighs and joints of his legs are extraordinarily beautiful. Indeed, the Lord's entire body appears to be well built. Purport. Lord Shiva is one of the 12 great authorities mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.20. These authorities are Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlad, Janaka, Bhishma, Bali, Vyasaki, or Sukadeva Goswami, and Yamaraj. The impersonalists who generally worship Lord Shiva should learn of the transcendental Satchidananda Vigraha of the Lord. Here, Lord Shiva kindly describes the details of the Lord's bodily features. Thus, the impersonalist argument that the Lord has no form cannot be accepted under any circumstance. So the impersonalists, they understand the Brahman, or at least partially, the Brahman feature of the Lord. So they understand how everything is Brahman, how it's all transcendental. But unfortunately, and they worship Lord Shiva as the deity of the impersonalists. But unfortunately, even though they worship Lord Shiva, they somehow or another don't appreciate his descriptions of the Lord and his bodily features, his beauty, and everything, you know, very, very wonderful about the Lord. So here in the Bhagavatam, he's describing the beauty of the Lord. He has another work, a book that he's accredited with, where he's describing the beauty and everything of Radha and Krishna. So the idea is that to come to the spiritual platform is good, it's important, it's necessary, because that's the natural status of the living entity. But to remain only at that platform, that's a mistake, because then that means the living entity remains as neutral, right? Spiritual means neutral, right? Devotional means then it's progressive. So being neutral means you don't have any affection for the Lord, but you don't have anything against the Lord. But that's not going to be satisfying to the soul. The soul is a person. So we may say the soul is Brahman, which is true, but we have to understand that Brahman has three aspects, Sat, Chit, and Ananda. So by addressing the soul as simply Brahman, we're accepting the Sat principle, the eternality principle. But then, what about Chit and what about Ananda? Because Chit means it's knowledge and activity. Because what's the meaning of not? You don't have knowledge if you don't apply it. Right? And you can't do something without knowledge, so the two go together. Right? It means, of course, materialists always try to separate the two. But the point is that means there's knowledge and there's activity. So what would there be knowledge of? Just Brahman? Just everything's Brahman? I mean, is that it? Then there's Ananda. So Ananda means the happiness coming from interacting. Otherwise, the happiness would be just of being Brahman. Then that would be everything. So the living entity in that neutral state cannot remain, because the living entity, being minute, then has to function under more powerful potencies. Therefore, he either has to be under the internal potency or the external. It's not that they'll just remain on their own. Because on their own means it's neutral, means there is no interaction. Right? There is no position of activity, no position of results. So that's not going to be satisfying. So the choice is whether we establish that relationship based on the internal potency or based under the shelter of the external. Right? The point is being minute, we have to take shelter. We're dependent. But we're minutely, you know, so minute, so we're very dependent. The internal potency, the external is also dependent. But, you know, they can do so many great things. So we're a portion of that. So therefore, the impersonalists, they're worshipping Lord Shiva. So then the point being made is they would do well to appreciate this point that Lord Shiva is making as the Lord of the understanding of Brahman. Then he is giving what's beyond Brahman, the form of Brahman, the personality of Brahman, right? The attractiveness of Brahman. So that aspect then becomes what's important for the living entity to appreciate. Right? So in our own life then, just that, okay, I'm situated spiritually, I'm situated in devotional service. Right? I have my sadhana, I have my activities, I'm situated there. But now, then, the same point is, okay, that's spiritually situated, so what's the next step? The next step is to be dynamically involved in serving the personal form of the Lord. Right? That's what we're trying to do. Otherwise, we will think, yes, I'm doing these things. Why? It's spiritual. Right? It's not enough. It's the foundation, it's the basis, it's the situation. But the point is the situation needs to be, one needs to interact in a situation if one's going to be satisfied. If you just put you in a very nice situation, let's say, you know, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, I put you in this very nicely, you know, well ventilated, very nicely lit room, and there's all over, there's just tables filled with all kinds of mahaprasadam, right? And there's a nice chair there, and we sit you in the chair. And you're just supposed to sit in the chair. Appreciate the situation. Right? Isn't it? It's a nice situation. But the point is one's not satisfied only appreciating the situation. So appreciating spiritual is still not good enough. It's better than appreciating material. That's there. So one has to get credit for that. But still, just appreciating is not enough. You have to do something. Krishna is very attractive, so therefore we do something to please him. We engage the senses in the Lord's service. That's what we're trying to do. So just that, oh, I'm a devotee, so that's good enough. Or I'm, you know, I have some sadhana, the regular sadhana, so that's good enough. No, it's always about engaging the senses, increasing, developing. When we say the spiritual world, it's unlimited. So that means it's unlimitedly expanding and limitedly increasing. So just being situated is not good enough. Right? There must be endeavor. So devotees are making endeavor, but the point is, are we conscious of that endeavor? Because the idea is to be conscious of Krishna at all moments. So we're, yes, during sadhana, you know, there's the better chance we'll be conscious. But are we conscious? When we're not doing our sadhana, are we conscious of Krishna? Right? That's the point. So are we conscious of Krishna? That's the first step. Right? And then, as being made, the point being made here, getting to that point, then you have to move to the next step. At being conscious, then do something that's favorable for the Lord's pleasure. Right? This is the idea. So when this is to avoid complacency. Otherwise, yes, I'm a devotee, you know, I've been doing this a while, it comes very naturally. But the point is what about the person? Right? Because that's the situation. We have to discern these things. They're not well discerned. Is you have a situation, but the situation, you have to do something in it if you're actually going to get some satisfaction from it. But right now, the modern society simply trains you to be satisfied that you have a nice situation. Why? Because those who are trying to make you satisfied with a nice situation know if you ever operate the situation, you won't be satisfied. Therefore, just being in the situation, they want you to be happy. That's all. The advertisement only presents you a situation. It doesn't go beyond that. It's a situation. Even if you see activity, you know, the guys, you know, on the big rubber raft with all the guys with all their, you know, what do you call it, life vests on and their helmets and they're going down, you know, their rapids and that. There's still, all they're presenting to you is the situation of being there. They're not, they're telling you, you'll be happy being in that situation. They're not saying you're going to be happy from going down that, you're packed in there, it's freezing cold water, you're gonna get dumped over like that, and you're gonna really have to work really hard, right? Because otherwise you can get killed. That they're not talking about. They're only talking about you'll be happy in this situation, or they show a cruise, you'll be happy sitting there, or they show a spa, and you're someone's lying there, you'll be happy lying there. That's all they're giving you. Have this phone, have this car, wear this clothes, eat this food. But they're just talking about situations. And people think, if I have the situation, yeah, you made it. Wow, look at the car he's got, and look at the girl he's with, and look at his clothes, and you know, he's got a position, he steps out of his car onto the red carpet, everyone's taking pictures. Wow, isn't that great? That's a situation. But what is he doing with the situation? Right? He's trying to ignore the paparazzi because they annoy him like anything. You know, and these are the formal ones where it's not so bad. At least they might pick a nice picture. They don't always. If they don't like you, they pick a bad one. You know, there's all the smiling and then a bug comes and you go like this. They put that picture in. They do it. So you have to deal with all that. You know, then after that you have to go in and everybody else is there on their red carpet. You have to sit there and smile and pretend that you really like them even though you really hate them. You hate being there, you hate all that, but if you're not there, then, you know, how is your manager going to get you the next part in the next movie? Because you're not around. Who's heard of you? You know, if you're not there alive right now, nobody cares. So that part they don't talk about. So the thing is when you go beyond the situation, the material world, there isn't anything. That's how the devotee is satisfied materially, because he knows there's nothing beyond. So whatever facility God gives him, whether it's better or less, it's still going to be the same thing. Therefore, it's just a matter of engaging that in the Lord's service. Then you'll be happy. Right? So that's the point that's being made. And all these authorities that are mentioned, Swayambhu, Narad, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlad, they're all great personalities who understand this principle that the situation isn't enough. You have to do something for the Lord. And that means the personality of Godhead. Right? Being on the spiritual platform, doing what's correct and right, these are nice. That's the practical basic principle of then doing that for Krishna. Right? You're in a situation, use it for Krishna. And how to use it for Krishna? You use it properly for Krishna. But the point is you're using the situation, the endeavor, for pleasing Krishna. So that's, Lord Shiva is trying to bring this out. Otherwise the impersonalists will tend to, just be satisfied, because all they're trying to do is get a situation, right? They want a situation out of the material world. That's all they're looking for. But though they're so intelligent, right? They're not using their intelligence to understand that nobody's satisfied just observing a situation. You have to do something in the situation. And just sitting there in a very blinding light and going, I am Brahman, I am Brahman. That's not gonna, he's not gonna cut it, right? How long could you do that? Like if I took you in a room, okay, I put in, you know, like, you know, a few thousand watts of electricity, you know, light bulbs in there, turn them all on, you can hardly see at all, right? You know, I can't even see your hand, it's so bright. And then, you know, you're just supposed to sit there and go, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi. Right? How long would you be good for? Right? Okay, even I had, there's an AC there, so it's not hot. Right? Okay, but that's it. It's not uncomfortable. How long could you last? So that's the point. Lord Shiva's pointing out here, is you're an idiot if you think that's being simply happy with the situation. Right? Right, even they come in, you come into the plaza and you go, wow, look at this, take out the camera, take a couple of pictures, and then what? Right? Then it's like, okay, is there a tour, or is there something to eat, or is there some memorabilia you can take home just to show that you were there? Right? How many seconds does it take before you start doing that? Right? And that's the ones that actually notice the place. Right? Most people walk through, don't even notice it. Any questions or comments? No? Yes.
So what makes us believe that the situation will make us happy except for the advertisements?
What makes us believe except for the advertisements? Well, no, the advertisements are good. People go to school just to learn how to make you happy, you know, like that. Like an ad that has an older person and a very young person in it, it appeals to everybody. That's why you see it so much. It doesn't need both, but they put both. Okay. So it's all, this is the whole, this the idea basically comes down, if we're thinking I'm the controller and enjoyer, so control means the situation, right? And you can't enjoy unless you can control. But since there isn't any enjoyment, therefore you have to be satisfied that you're in control. Right? Because if we actually address if I'm happy, there's a problem. Right? So the Westerners are generally better at covering that up. Like the East, like I was told by, I think, Kavi Chandra Maharaj, who says in Japan, you never, when you meet somebody, ask them how they are. When you meet someone, you talk about the weather or something else. You never, it's just against the etiquette, you never ask how they are. Because they're so focused, right? That if they focus on how I am, then they'll think, well, I'm doing a job I hate my boss, I have to ride 2 hours on this packed train, you know, down to work, and 2 hours back. When I get home, then the wife is not satisfied, my kids are teenagers, they're crazy. Like that. I hate all my friends. It's all so superficial. But you have to do all these things to maintain the status. And if they go into that, they just fall apart. Right? So, you don't ask. You know what I'm saying? Because the person says, wow, he got his new, you know, he's got his new iPhone 4S. Yeah, wow, great. Yeah, how is it? Yeah, oh, the best thing ever. You know, it talks to you and everything. How long can you talk to your phone? How many times can you ask it? Hey, you know, hey. What's happening? You know, like that. It'll give you an answer. You know, and then how many times can you do that? Right? Come back after 6 months, they'll have another phone. So what happened to the great phone? You understand? So the thing is there's no satisfaction. We're attracted to Krishna, but because we don't, means all living entities are attracted to Krishna. And so all living entities are trying to find Krishna in whatever situation they're in. But because they don't know what they're trying to find is Krishna, they think it's the arrangement of the material elements. And so they interact with it, but because the focus is not on Krishna, but it's on the dead matter can't give any satisfaction. So very quickly one loses enthusiasm. But the soul being eternal part and parcel of Krishna, and being the natural servant of Krishna, they will simply look in another place. Oh, it wasn't this, it was that. Right? So the situation is opportunities. Right? So I could enjoy. So that's basically the satisfaction. You could enjoy it. You know, it's just like you go out and you buy that one pair of wild shoes. When could you wear it? Right? There is a situation in your mind. Yeah, if I happen to be, you know, at that five-star hotel, you know, down in Bali, you know, during this time, then I could wear it. But will that ever happen? Maybe not. So they'll sit there. So after 5 years, 10 years, still haven't worn them. But are you going to get rid of them? No, those are very expensive and very rare. Right? So like that, if you look at so much stuff one has, a lot of it is not really, you don't use. There's options. You could. So we're always looking for options. Because if I have something, the potential for sense gratification is there. But depending upon how new I am at it or not, I'm enthusiastic thinking I will find it there. Right? The nouveau riche is always very enthusiastic about it. But the ones who have been rich for generations, they're not. They have the options, and when it comes up and it all manifests, then, you know, it might come out to be nice, right? Going on the cruise may be great, as long as, you know, one of the spouses doesn't, you know, pull out some, oh, I wanted to talk to you, and then pulls out some papers and say, can you sign here? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you don't know. Why didn't you say before? Why didn't, there wasn't a good moment, you know? And you understand? So the basic thing is the soul's looking for God. There is no enjoyment in the material, so we're having to constantly change it. But the idea that I can enjoy is constant because ananda is part of the soul. Right? So the situation gives rise for enjoyment, but in the material world, the actual endeavor and the result you get isn't actually that enjoyable. So just by habit, you focus more on the situation than on the endeavor and the result. Does that make sense? You know? And those who do and focus on that, then they work very hard. They work very hard at it. But, you know, they themselves also keep all their options open. You know what I'm saying? Something else? Yes.
So ever so often the gross materialist finds himself in a situation where he will say, now I'm happy, right
yes.
now.
So yeah, right now. And then, how long does that right now last? How long do they enjoy that moment? Because the point is according to the principle of aparoksha, means the mind is experiencing it, but only when you're experiencing it do you get the taste. But when you analyze it, are you experiencing it? You know what I'm saying? So that means they're at the party and there's something going on, it's happening party. And so they're enjoying themselves. One person turns to the other and says, wow, isn't this a great party? But are they experiencing the party at that moment? No. So the thing is then they have to go back into, maybe they will, maybe they won't. Like when you wake up, maybe you'll fall back asleep, maybe you won't. You know what I'm saying? How often do they say that? You know what I'm saying? And the other fun part about it is that the senses, contacting the sense objects, give an experience only as long as they're in contact. As soon as the sense and the sense object are not contacting each other, there is no experience. So you're only thinking about what was there. So it's only on the mental platform. So is that actually enjoying? Because if that was, then simply you'd have an agency where you have very well-trained people that come out and, you know, or have seminars or come and personally, you know, instruct you how to remember all the good things of the past and how to absorb yourself in that. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so it doesn't work. So on the mental platform, then emotions you may remember. But what are you going to remember? You know? You know what I'm saying? The man will sit in his office and look at the picture of his family and remember some moments together.
Right, but he's not going to sit in his office and, you know, think deeply about, you know, how he was, you know, scared, you know, completely out of his mind on the roller coaster ride. Though it was a deep experience, and if anyone was asked him, how was it, he'll say, great, but is he going to sit around meditating on that? No. You know what I'm saying? It's the moments where there's that feeling of relationship, of that some depth that's going to be remembered. But that's only if it was there. So people have shallow relationships that are only based on the interaction, on the situation, between the things. So it's actually, it's like this. I'm connected to the thing, you're connected to the thing, so you and I are connected, right? I'm watching the television, you're watching the television, so we have a relationship, right? So there is no memories. That's the problem. That's why people are going becoming neurotic. There is no memories. There is no depth. There is no quality. Right? And intellectually, what do they actually understand? What's solid? Right? They may know something in their occupation. The guy is a, you know, world expert in, you know, where to find oil in the world or something like that. He's got, you know, he always is successful. He goes out, he always finds oil. Right? He's being paid, you know, millions and millions of dollars to do his job. But the thing is can he apply that in his personal life? No. So where's the knowledge? As a person, yes. As someone doing a job, yes. He has knowledge, he has skill. But as a person, where are they teaching that? No school teaches that. Your modern academy does not deal with that. They stay as far away from that as possible. Right? They simply try to make you feel if I have knowledge for an occupation, then I'm set up for life. But no, they can just say you're set up. Yes, you're set up to have money. Life's a different thing. Life, they don't teach you. You understand? So he's unable to use that in his life. Otherwise, if he's the world expert in that thing, he could be a world expert in something else, right? In other words, if someone's an expert cook at one thing, they could do something else. And let's say the guy's the best, you know, tailor in suits in the world. He could make something else. Because he knows the principles of tailoring. But he's unable to apply it across because he only knows the skill. He doesn't know the principle. So therefore, you fail. Principles are what makes the life work. Detail is what makes your occupation work. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that there are those moments. Yeah, but how often are those moments? Even the guys who have everything, they're talking about, yeah, when we went to the Bahamas that time, you know, 2 years ago, that was really great. That was 2 years ago. You know? Or the other guys sitting with the old duffers and they're all standing up and saluting, you know, as they raise the flag, you know, the Great War, you know, and all that, this and that, and the last three people left from, you know, that, you know, like that. It's like, that was, you know, 60 years ago.
What's the war?
Huh?
And it was the war.
Yeah, so it's, the point is, if you think about it, what do they have? It's only memories, at best. Because they don't know what they're dealing with at the present. How long does it last? It's going great. The conversation is going great. The guy is, you know, is going with the girl and he's happy. But he doesn't actually know what a girl is, so he doesn't know how to continue the conversation. So he will say something stupid. You know, she will throw the drink in his face. She will walk out. Why? Because he was having a good time. But he was having a good time on his own, not with her. So that's the thing, the materialist does not even know, even though they're committed 100%, seemingly 100% to sense gratification, they don't even know how to get it. That's what's so sad. You know, it's one thing if the guy decides, okay, I'm not going to be Krishna conscious, I'm going to become a billionaire. And he goes out there and becomes a billionaire. Well, okay, he did something. But neither is the devotees, or neither are they happy. Now that's sad. And even the people who say they're that, that's more propaganda. Just you see them in situations, you think they're happy. Oh, the guy's going by in the limo. Oh, that's the life. You don't know what's going on inside the limo. You know, his business is being taken over by someone else. His, you know, his wife is freaking out. His kids, you know, just got, you know, busted, you know, for drug, you know, having cocaine in their, you know, their Ferrari, and they crashed it, you know, and it wasn't paid for. You know, it's like, you know, this is what's going on inside that limo. So that's the problem, is that it's projected that it's good, but is it good? Not necessarily. Like that. That's the weak part, because it's not personal. It's only on situation. Those who put more emphasis on the personal don't necessarily put emphasis on the situations. And then what do we call them? Right? We call them unfortunate, poor, this, that. Oh, you know, the backwards rural people. But they probably have more going on in relationships. But they don't have much going on in situations. And then the amount of people that have good situation and good relationships, very few. Especially if you're trying to be modern. Is that okay? So it's not really there. Prahlad Maharaj calls it Shruti Shukat. Heard about happiness, but no one's ever had it. You've heard that you'll be happy. But, you know, therefore when you get in the situation, because you got the situation, will make you that you'll be. You wanted that situation, having relieved yourself of the pain of not having it, you're happy. But the situation itself is not making you happy. Right? That's the whole point. So, something else? Yes.
My question is asking about the difference between enjoyment in the spiritual world and material world. And you may have to correct my theory if I'm wrong about enjoying in the material world. Is, in my mind, I think it's our subtle body acts maybe as a medium to enjoy the senses through the gross body, but in the, which is not really us. And in the spiritual world, we have our spiritual body. So can you explain a little bit about the difference in how we perceive enjoyment there and here?
See, senses are senses. It's just a matter of the quality of them. And like a spoon is a spoon, right? But you can have a spoon that you got down at the 5 and 10. Doesn't cost you much. Or you can go into Harrods and spend $100 on a spoon, right? But it's still a spoon, right? So senses are senses. They do the same thing. Eyes look, right? Nose smells, ears hear, right? The difference is that here we're engaging the senses in a situation with the idea that by my engagement of the senses, I will be happy. In the spiritual world, you have the same situations. But you look at it differently. You look at it in this situation, the senses could be engaged in this way to please Krishna's senses, to make him happy. That's the difference. So when Krishna's happy, we're happy. But if we try to be happy on our own, we're not happy. How much you get? You know what I'm saying? A little bit of the senses, you notice that they're functioning. That's actually the only thing that you're getting out of it. But there, it's because of relationships. So what little you are getting from it is because that potency of that exchange between the senses and sense objects is Krishna. Because it's dead matter that you're looking at. Your eyes are dead matter. What you're looking at is dead matter. Right? So the point is how will dead matter on dead matter give a result? Right here. Take the cartels, I rub it on the thing here. Ooh, feels good. Isn't that nice? That's what's going on. That's the reality. So the point is therefore Krishna, he comes as that experience that you're seeing or feeling or smelling. But because you attribute it to the material energy itself and to your sense, you're an illusion. But it's Krishna, so the only thing that you're actually tasting anyway is Krishna. And even if you say that I'm happy having relieved myself of the longing that I wanted by that, you still only relieved it with Krishna. So it's still, the only reason you're getting a little bit of something out of it is because you're in contact with Krishna anyway. And the only reason that you'll get it is because the sense and the sense object are interacting in an appropriate way to get that particular experience you want. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you want to experience something soft, so you have to sit on something soft. Right? No? If I sit on an overturned pack of tacks, it won't feel soft. So I even have to follow the rules on how. You want to see God in this way, so you have to interact with God based on that. Does that make sense? So in the spiritual world, it's the same principle. You see, the situation is there, you engage your senses in Krishna's service. But because you're doing it, you see it and you understand it's Krishna and you're pleasing Krishna, therefore him being satisfied, he as the supreme whole, therefore the happiness is unlimited. But if you're just dealing with Krishna as dead matter, it only takes a spark of his energy to run this dead matter, and that's the whole thing, and you're only dealing with a part of it, so how much of a spark are you getting? Not a whole lot. So the difference is in the spiritual world, they're into serving Krishna. They don't want any result for themselves. In the material world, we want the result for ourselves. That's the difference between material and spiritual. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, on this point of satisfaction, there is the beginning of the Bhagavatam where the sages are asking for like the ultimate good for the people, the ultimate sadhana, which is going to bring satisfaction to everyone. They said that it will be pure devotional service, unmotivated and uninterrupted. But this is like a very, very high platform. We see even devotees, they're not satisfied. So,
they're not satisfied because they're not trying to be satisfied. You can only be satisfied if you make the endeavor. Just like if I put some food in front of you and you're hungry, if you don't eat it, will you be satisfied? So satisfaction is a state of mind. It's not a possession. It's the understanding that, you know, whatever I have, I'll use in Krishna's service. So whatever that is, I have a nature. Therefore, I will endeavor to create the situations that go with that nature, because with the situations you can make further endeavor and further results, right? And results always become part of your situation, right? So therefore you try to situate yourself according to your nature. But the point is that nature could be anything, so whatever it is, that's what you have to be satisfied with. Unless that's appreciated, you'll never be satisfied. So it's not a matter, well, devotees, but which part of the devotee is not satisfied? The one that sees Krishna as the ultimate goal of life, chanting is the process, association of devotees, is that part? Or the part where they think they're the body, and they think they're the mind? That's the part that's not satisfied. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in other words, it's because of mixed devotional service, the part that's mixed is not satisfied. It can never be satisfied. But you can be satisfied that you can't be satisfied. Yayati, he spent 1,000 years, right, with his son's youth, enjoying everything possible that a king could enjoy according to the rules. Because only according to the rules can you really enjoy it. He did it for 1,000 years, and after 1,000 years he gave the youth back saying, I'm satisfied that there's no satisfaction. because we think, oh, if I had done it this way, then it would have been, then I would have been happy. No, but then 2 months later, I can do it that way. Oh, but if I had done this way. So it just goes on and on. People with more facility can do more things, but only if they're intelligent, they'll see, as I did it 50 different ways, still I'm not satisfied. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my point was that they're looking for something which is going to be good for everyone.
And they're looking for something that'll be good for everyone. Right.
It seems to be like a very high platform to just act for Krishna's pleasure. We see that not so many people take
up this path. But what's the context? You're saying the context, okay, pure unalloyed devotional service, as you put it there, is what they're looking for is the common platform to make everybody happy. What's the context that you're looking at it from? Because you say that's very lofty.
Yeah. So what's the context? Kali Yuga.
So it's one of the situations created by the Lord. It's still under the Lord's control. Just like in your house, there's a bathroom. It's still your house. You know what I'm saying? But the point is what's the difference between Kali Yuga and Satya Yuga? What's the difference?
People are less qualified, short-lived.
Less qualified in what?
Well,
spiritually or materially?
Weakness of character.
Weakness of character. So people who have good character suffer. People who have weak character suffer. Right? You know what I'm saying? The Salem witch trials, they hanged a lot of good people. They were suffering. Right? You know, the druggies, you know, down there that live next to that, you know, that big garbage can and that, they're suffering. You know what I'm saying? So you're looking at it that comfortable material life is normal, rather than for the soul, anything other than God consciousness is not normal. So it's not that pure unalloyed devotion is a lofty thing. It's the normal thing for the soul. You know, the verse here is just the normal platform of the soul being Tathasta Shakti is on the liberated platform. That's normal. Abnormal is being in the material world. Right? But because they have to be under one potency or the other, then what's special is being under the internal potency and developing prema. Right? So if that's there. So that's lofty but normal. Right? The kid's father's a billionaire. And you know, since he could talk, he's been wheeling and dealing with his friends. You know, trading this toy for that and so many different things. So it would be normal for him to become, you know, a billionaire like his father. Right? But will it take work? Yes, but it's normal. You know what I'm saying? But you're making it like, you know, okay, we took the kid out of one of those, you know, how you say, you know, what do you call it, East African, you know, civil wars there. You know, and he's living under a rock, you know, that's as good as it gets. And now he's got to become a billionaire. Then you say, oh, that's so difficult. But the point is that's not the position of the soul. The soul already, liberation is where the soul starts at being normal. Then prema is the potential. So Vedanta is the only thing that you can discuss with anyone, anywhere, at any time, in any place, in any circumstance. And if this is understood, devotees would be able to preach to everyone. But because they think that, no, preaching means I have to say Krishna. Or I have to say vegetarian. Right? No, they're not understanding. We're talking about first you have to establish the soul. Because that's abhideya, that's practices. But first you have to establish the soul. And God. You know, or if they have problem with that, the Supreme. Everybody looks up, there's a Supreme. Because even if you know you're a rat bag, somebody's a bigger rat bag. And you know that, right? Because he just told you this morning that if he ever caught you again, he's going to, you know, punch your head in. Right? So Everybody understands that. It doesn't matter who it is, what philosophy, what religion, anything. That's the one thing you can talk to everybody on. But we think, no, by removing all these words of Abhideya, of the process, then I'll be able to establish Krishna consciousness. But establish means the soul, God, and the material world. That's not what they're talking about. That's not their preaching. So therefore, we think it'll be very difficult to tell this to people. No, you start talking about the soul and its relationship with God, that we're servants. The soul's eternal. God's eternal. God's the greatest. God's the creator, maintainer. That anybody will buy. Does that make sense? So if that's looked at it there, Vedanta is the only universally applicable philosophy and religion. The devotees aren't seeing that that's what we've been given. They think we have this set of cultural rules from India and that it only works in India. You know, and in the West it won't work. Strange, you can take American practices and do them in India. So why can't you do Indian practices in America? It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. It's not intelligent. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's the... Does that make sense? So the perspective has to be is no. Vedanta is the only common ground, and the ultimate result of Vedanta is understanding your relationship with the Supreme Person. Therefore, pure devotional service. That's the common ground with everybody. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so time is up. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Sanyatai Gaurapriya.